Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Lamed Vov, the 36th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. This is among the prophecies of the consolation of the future, which is going to be a good future for Israel. And the general overarching topic of our Perek is the land and the nation, the connection between the land and the people of Israel. There's two sections of it. The first section of the prophecy, which is from Pasuk Aleph all the way to Tes Vov, is about Hashem addressing the hills of Yehuda. And the last section, Tes Zion, all the way till the end, is talking about the Kibbutz Golios for the sake of Hashem's name. Let's take a quick look at each of those sections briefly. So the first one is actually directed specifically towards the Harei Yisrael. Hinove El Harei Yisrael, Yechezkel is told to give a prophecy to the actual hills of Yehuda. And the first thing he says is, because all your enemies sought to destroy you, to make you desolate, to colonize you and destroy you, therefore, he says, L'chein komar Hashem Elohim, so says Hashem, Im loy be'esh kinasi dibarti al she'iris agoyim v'al edom kuloi. Therefore, I'm going to speak in anger and in jealousy against the nations and Edom, specifically Asher nosnu es artzi lohem lemorasho besimchas kol levov. They wanted to just take the land in the joy of their hearts, bishat nefesh leman migrasha levaz. They wanted to make it into a desolation. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Because of this, I've borne the embarrassment of these nations. And Hashem says, Atem Horei Yisrael and Pasuk Ches, An Pechem Titeinu Upiryachem Tisu. You're going to bear fruit, L'ami Yisrael, to my nation Israel, ki kervu lavoi, because those days have come close to arrival. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how he's going to reinvest in the land, and so much so that in Pasuk Yud Aleph he says, Va'ati voisi me rishoy seichem. You're going to be even better than in your prior years, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem, and you'll know I am Hashem. And then Hashem goes on even further to prophesize that yan omrim lochem ocheles odom at umashkeles goyei chayis, because people said that you are the food of the other nations, lochein odom lo soichli, nobody's going to be able to consume or eat you anymore. Very powerful prophecy, seems to be focused on the future here. What's the flow in general? Why is this Perek coming immediately following Perek Lamed Hei, which describes the destruction of the area of Seir, of Edom's territory? So the Radak says is because, as we know, that there's this eternal struggle. We're locked into a struggle between Esav and Yaakov, and whoever's up, the other one is down. So as Hashem describes the destruction of the area of the Harei Seir, the mountains of Seir where Edom is residing. So now Hashem describes upswing for the Harei Yisrael, the mountains of Israel. What is interesting about this is that when describing the reconstitution of the land of Israel, Hashem describes his anger against these other nations. What was it they did? So you look carefully in the Pesukim, it says that the end of a Pasuk Zion, Pasuk Hey, it says that they had said, Bishat Nefesh Laman Migrasha Levaz. They wanted to make you into, wanted to exile you and make it destroyed. The Mitzudas David points out that on that Pasuk over there, it says that they wanted Israel to become desolate, not only for their own gain. It wasn't just because they wanted to colonize and milk the land of its natural resources or as a trade route. And they just wanted Israel not to succeed. They just wanted Israel to fall. That's why Hashem gets so angry as well. And if you think about it in today's days terms, what BDS is doing. BDS is not advancing. Boycott, divest, and sanction is not advancing the cause of the local Arabs, the local people. It is actually just sinking the ship. When you think about SodaStream, which was forced to relocate, that was providing jobs for hundreds of Palestinians and Israelis alike. But what certain movements seek is only self-destruction, complete, just that sink the ship at all costs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying about the enemies of Israel. Some things don't change so much. What is this notion of the giving of the first fruit? Like, when is this going to happen? How does this work? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin famously says on Datsari Chesed Aleph that Omar Rava, Rabbi Abba would say, Ein l'cho keitz megula mizeh. There is no greater sign that redemption is on the way than seeing the fruits of the land of Israel, which was barren up till now, to be yielding their fruits. There is no clearer sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown his face to the nation of Israel and is bringing us to Geula. In fact, as an interesting halachic tidbit, the Gemara in Megillah Yud Zayin Amud Beis tells us That is how the constellation of the brachos actually works in Ashmona Esrei. Why is the kibbutz Golios is after Birkas Hashanim? Why do we ask for a good year, a blessed year in the land, and then we talk about kibbutz Golios? Because this perek arranges it as such. We're going to see the next section talks about kibbutz Golios, and first is the notion of the land being reconstituted and being reinvigorated with life. And that's what we're asking for. We ourselves have witnessed both of those things with our own eyes in the last century. We've witnessed the land regrow to an agricultural powers, an export of agricultural technology. We've witnessed kibbutz Golios from almost every single country in the world where Jews are coming. We've witnessed that we're probably at this point in time in the bracha of Hoshiva Shoftenu Kvari Shana, which is where we're davening in terms of the historical progress of the Shemona Esrei. What does it mean that it'll be better than ever before? Meaning, like to say that the land will be yield fruit that it never had before. So the Malbim says that we're talking about this being even a greater geula than that of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's going to be more full, more complete when this geula, the final redemption, actually comes, when it comes in full. What does it mean that no humans will eat of you again? So the Mitzvah points out that it's the other nations who will no longer be able to eat of us, who up till now were consuming us. But the Malbim says, no, there'll be a supernatural time where this is actually referring to the fact that there'll be no longer goddess, there'll be no longer death in the world. So we're talking about a supernatural state of change that we're referring to. This is the first section of the prophecy. The second set of the section of the prophecy talks about goddess and kibbutz Golios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about how, because of your terrible sins, and this relates to a number of the earlier parakim in Tezayin and Chavdalad, where Hashem gives a sort of a historical narrative of our sins. So because of the sins that we were metameh, we blew a spear in the land, and there was immorality, and there was infidelity and bloodshed on the land. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us to send us to all the nations. V'yizoru ba'arat sois. We're going to sprinkle in those nations. V'yavoy el goy asher bol sham. And he will come to the nation that you are there. V'yachalalu eshem kodshi be'emor lohem am Hashem ele. And you will be mechalal Hashem by people saying, these are the nation of Hashem, and they left their land. Therefore, says Hashem, v'ayachmol al shem koshi, I will have mercy, I will have grace on my name, my holy name, asher chilelu b'nei Yisrael b'goyim, asher ba'u shama. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because of me, not because of you, I'm going to bring you out of Golos, and I'm going to bring you all back to the land of Israel. V'ayasi et eschem el adma schem, I'm going to return you to your land. V'nosati lochem, famously, this is a very, very, very famous pasuk in Yechezkel Chavav. V'nosati lochem lev chadosh v'ro chadosh v'atem b'kem rechem. I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit. V'asiroi says lev o'evan, I'm going to remove your stone heart mibisarechem, from your flesh. V'nosati lochem lev basor, you're going to have a flesh heart. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about how Hashem's going to reinvest himself in the land, and the land of the fruits are going to give back the tremendous produce to the land of Israel. And again, Hashem reminds us, it's not because of us, it's because of Him. And we're going to be embarrassed the fact that we didn't merit it ourselves. And finally, in the last little section, the last little paragraph, Hashem says, Komar Hashem Elokim, so says God, Beyond Tari Eschem Mikol Avonoseichem, V'yashavti Esa'arim U'benivnu HaCharavos. The land will be rebuilt. You'll rebuild the cities of old. They'll be magnificent. There'll be places to visit. V'aretz Neshamata Atem Te'alveid, the land which was desolate to anybody who passed by in the past will now be built. And they'll say, look at this destroyed land, which is now like a Gan Eden. It's like a garden of paradise. V'yadu ha'goyim asher yish'aru sviv'oseichem ki ani Hashem bonisei ha'nerasos natati ha'neshama. And everybody will realize that it was me who did this, who replanted and regrew the destroyed. And he talks about how the nation of Israel come back like Tzon Kedoshim, like these holy sheep coming back to Yerushalayim and to all the destroyed areas. Interesting question, just on focusing on this section. What is the Chilal Hashem of the Jews in Golos? Meaning it says that we are taken to Golos and we are Mechalel Hashem Shemayim. What's really going on over here? So the Gemara Yuma on Pei Vav Amud Aleph tells us that this is referring to a person who learns a lot of Torah, does a lot of mitzvahs, but the way that he speaks to other people is not benachas. They don't listen, speak nicely, and people say, "This is the person Oyla Aviv Shalom Torah. Who's the person who taught this person Torah? Like what kind of behavior is this? Look how they drive. Look how they park. Look how they talk to the cashier. Look what kind of person this is." Meaning, it seems to be that the Gemara Yuma's understanding that being in the other lands, it's that we're going to continue the bad practices that we have, and people continue to say, is this what it means to be a Jew? Whereas Rashi says, no, it's not about sins that we'll do in Golis at all. It's the very, actually, the very fact of being in Golis. Rashi quotes Megillah in Eicha Rabasi, where the Midrash tells us that Hashem, so to speak, by Avoy, he himself will go to Golis and he'll listen into the tents, the houses of the non-Jews. The non-Jews will say, ah, this is supposed to be the chosen nation. Look at them now. All exiled. Nobody's saving them. Where's their God? So it's the very fact that they're in Golis itself, not what we're doing in Golis, which is the Chilul Hashem, which Hashem seeks to rectify. What does this new heart mean? What exactly does this mean? So there's a debate in the Mepharshim. Is this a supernatural change of events? Is this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change human nature in the future? Or is it simply referring to that it's going to be more impressionable, that we're going to be able to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam more carefully at such a point in time in history? This is a debate you'll see in the Mepharshim. Finally, the last section of this parak, just to appreciate how we've seen this prophecy actually express itself in reality. When you look very, very carefully over here, where in Pasuk Lamed Daled, which says, "V'aretz hanashama te'avei tachas kasher ha'shoshamama le'inei kol over," it was this land is so desolate in the eyes of any passerby. Well, we've seen that. We've seen that in Innocence Abroad, which is Mark Twain's book upon his visiting of the Middle East, and specifically in the area of Palestine, biblical Palestine, which is Israel, of course. He has a quotation, famous quotation. We went through the Jezreel Valley. He says the following: "There is not a solitary village throughout this whole extent, not for 13 miles in either direction. There are two or three small clusters of Bedouin tents, but not a single permanent habitation. One may ride 10 miles hereabouts and not see a single human being." And he continues, "Of all the lands there are for dismal scenery, I think Palestine must be the prince. Can the curse of the deity beautify a land? Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes. Over it broods the spell of a curse that has withered its fields and fettered its energies. A desolate country, to in another quote, whose soil is rich enough but is given over holly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse. A desolation here that not even the imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We never saw a human being on the whole route. There was hardly a tree or shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of the worthless soil, had almost deserted the country." This is in the year 1867, when he's looking at the country, the land of Israel. Look at this 150 years later and think about the difference. Israel is an agricultural scientist exporter to the rest of the world to help it cultivate, and talk about the drip irrigation and numerous inventions that Israel's contributed to agricultural society. Israel is blooming. Israel is thriving. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are seeing this prophecy in Perek Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Vav, in absolutely full action over here. And it's happened only as the Jews return to the land, as this Perek has prophesied. This is remarkable. This is real prophecy in action that we've been able to witness. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.